Hey, hello out there. This is Coach EJ Eric Johnson, also known as The Brand.
And this is Coach Aaron Thigpen, The Source.
Aaron, what's happening today, man? I tell you, we always talk about this when we're in a gym together. And our subject today is, are you a student of your sport? So let's hit it up on that today, Aaron. What's the skinny on that, man? Because you and I have some good opinions on this. We always talk about this on a daily basis.
What we're really getting at, guys, is, you know, how involved or how engaged and how much do you know about your sport? Not just playing it, but maybe about its history, about the its evolution, the ebbs and flows, where the game might be going, you know, all of those things. Are you a student of how to play your position and what it takes to be, you know, good at that position? I think the conversations I have with a lot of kids, it's kind of on the surface. They just are kind of doing, but they're not really delving into or maybe know about or appreciating some of the nuances that it takes to be good at a particular sport. And I think when you know a sport's history and you kind of, and you actually study it and you study how it's being played, both in, you know, in the past and maybe where the game is going, I think that can help make you a better athlete. So that's, you know, when we talk about being a student of the sport, you know, that's really what I'm talking about. For example, I see this a lot in some of the team sports where there's kind of like where kids just make bonehead mistakes because they don't really study situations, scenarios, and how to react to those things and make the play. I mean, you're in baseball, so I'm sure you see that sort of thing where it's like, well, you know, in this situation, the ball should go to first, not second. And so, you know, I think, and you know, part of it's probably on us as coaches and instructors is that we always have to spend so much time on the mechanics.
Right.
With a lot of athletes that some of that stuff, even though it might get covered, maybe doesn't get covered in depth or maybe doesn't get covered in the way that these kids can kind of absorb it and then use it. So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of initially what goes on in my head in terms of, you know, student of the sport. So it kind of ranges that whole.
Yeah, it does, Aaron. And I think about a lot of things when we come to this subject. One is that when I was growing up, and I think of this too. And in fact, Aaron, you know, we have Champions Are Built that are coming up, and one of our guests is Shooty Babbitt.
Yeah.
And I watched Shooty throw the ball when I was a kid at the Oakland Coliseum, and I was watching him throw the ball, and I was watching how the ball was rotating. I go, man, that looks kind of cool. Can I do that? So I went back, and you know, that next week in practice, I was trying to get my backspin correct when I was throwing the ball. So I don't know if kids watch the game because of the media or ESPN or Major League Baseball Network. There's so many highlights and so many, the emphasis is on home runs and speeds and exit velocities and how fast you're running to this spot and look at that catch you made. Right. Instead of, you know, being a student of the game. Student of the game means you're studying how you can make your actions better, whether it's a individual action or it's a team action. I think about when I'm coaching our team, Aaron, and the very first year in the seventh grade, I'm teaching the kids how to play the game situationally. Mound first, base, ball gets hit, get the lead out at second base, or if there's two outs in the inning and they throw the ball to second base, but the guy on first base get the lead runner at second, the easier throw, I'm still trying to get our guys to throw the ball to second base instead of throwing it across the diamond.
Right.
It's a harder throw. So understanding, you know, just that kind of stuff. I mean, you watch it all the, on the TV all the time with major league players, and they're not throwing a ball across the diamond, but you know what? Innately, they were taught from a young age at 8 and 7 or 7 and 8, get one, one
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
It keeps on and on for 15, 16, 17. I'm like, why are you throwing a ball across the diamond? Isn't the easy way to just throw the second base? And it's so conditioned. And that's how I know they're not students of the game, because they're not really testing what was taught to them earlier at a very young age, which is the easiest play rather than get one, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned something that kind of just provoked a little thought with me in terms of, you talked about how kids are absorbing sports now. Kids are absorbing sports differently than we did. And maybe that's part of the equation here. You know, when we were younger,
right,
we had to read about sports and our heroes and those sorts of things. And right, there was limited, and or we had to go see them, you know, in games,
yeah,
you know, be there at the stadiums. So now with the advent of obviously we're not that old, but a TV, but how social media and information is presented to the kids in these short sound bites, just like the news, everything else, you know, yeah, it can kind of paint a different picture, or it can kind of leave a lot of those nuances out, because you're it's kind of like the empty calories thing. You're feasting on empty calories, right, which are these highlights, but a lot of times those highlights aren't supplemented with some of the commentary that might go along or should go along with it. So for instance, you see a guy make a spectacular play,
yeah,
on you know, Instagram or something, but you never really hear the commentary that might be going on, you know, with the announcers,
yeah,
about that, you know, if there's something of value there. Yeah. So it just has me thinking, well, you know, if that's the case, then I think it's probably even more important now that our athletes are presented, and they're probably gonna hate this, but presented with more print material. So in other words, I think maybe there needs to be more study guides going home with some of these athletes as well. So say for instance, you guys in baseball are,
right,
are working on, you know, situational baseball.
Okay.
And you guys have a practice, but you know what? Maybe now there need, I hate to say it now, make more work for you, but maybe now there needs to be a handout or an email shot to them about, hey, this is what we, you know, this was the meat of what we did today. This is why we do it. And it kind of, you know, again, it kind of adds a little bit more meat to what they're doing and more substance. And maybe that might trigger more questions, more thoughts, study guide, you know, student of sports study, give them some kind of study guide or some kind of notes that maybe is gone over before practice and then after practice. I don't know. I mean, I, you know, for track and field, you know, it's a little bit different. It's a lot easier for for me. I mean, I can jot some things down and send it out and give them phrases. But I know for you guys might have, you know, 5-6 different situations that you got to work on.
Oh, yes, we do.
And but I'm just, you know, thinking out loud, you know, how do we give additional information to these athletes? And just for parents, I think, encourage your athlete to have a library on their sport. If they're really into that sport, buy them some books, even if I guess it has to be ebooks now. But, you know, I'm big on books. So I love books. I have a whole library of books of all different types of sports, all different types of things. So, you know, for me, it's not hard, but I would think if I'm a kid and I'm really into sports, or, you know, I've really latched onto soccer or baseball, then, you know, you may want to get your kid about a book about soccer training, and not just the superstars, you know, not just Beckham's novel, but, you know, hey, how to play soccer. It doesn't mean they have to read it cover to cover, but maybe they might skim through it and pull some things out, and then they reference it back. And, you know, I think that might be a good way of again, adding some substance and some meat to some of the empty calories that they're consuming, because you can't get it all in practice. I get it. You know, kids at certain ages, they just can't get it all. But it gives them something to maybe go back to if they had a question or if they weren't unclear. And, you know, a lot of kids sometimes just won't tell you that they don't understand something. So it maybe gives them a safe space to reference that scenario and say, oh, okay, this is what the coach was talking about. Right. No, thinking out loud, but that's kind of where I went on that when we're talking about that aspect. When you talked about the social media and how they're absorbing, you know, that information.
Aaron, it's funny. I give up the handout. You know, I give up the book. I started doing it 7 years ago because the same thing that you and I see, it's becoming too much, because in practice, they weren't gaining the information that was needed to be successful in the game. And I had to give them playbooks, had to give them, you know, a book on all our plays for the team. And then I gave them an instructional book that we did, Ron Wotus, myself, and Joe Millet.
Yeah, yeah.
We did, 214 pages, how to play guide. And they had cuff relays, how to catch a ground ball, how to hit, all kinds of things. It just, you know, and it made our jobs, it makes our job to this day a lot easier for them to have a study guide or additional resources for them to be good at. So for me, I like what you said, man. It just has to be done these days. The players don't see the game as maybe we see it, or I like to say they may not see the game as it was 7 years ago as they do today. Because of different things. So, you know, I just think kids have to start using their imagination, their athleticism, their creativity, their ability to think outside the box. They need to start, you know, invoking those things. There's so many great traits that come out of it and so many great skill sets that come out of it when you just kind of think outside the box, or you use your athleticism and you don't try to make it technically perfect all the time, and allow players to make mistakes and go for it, because that gets them to take chances. And I think, you know, it comes down to that. Are the players a student of the sport because they take chances based on what they saw? Or are they students of their sport because someone had to tell them, hey, you got to learn how to do this? You know, it's kind of interesting. I think it's a great subject, because you and I see that there are less players out there that really know who Hank Aaron is. You know, I ask kid, you know, who's Stan Musial? You know, I threw out some 50, 60 players. You know, who's Stan Musial? Who's, I even said, who's Roy Campanella? You know, I was throwing some names from the panel, like, who? Do you know who Joe DiMaggio is? Do you know who Kirk Flood is? And I said, all of you should know who Kirk Flood is. The reason why there's so much money in the game today is because of Kirk Flood, you know, but they had no bearing of who they were. They don't know who the Big Red Machine is, or the rivalry that the Yankees or the Red Sox had in the 70s. Yeah. And they don't know the history of the A's 3 straight World Series victories. They thought that was only the Giants had ever did that in the history of baseball, you know. So again, it goes back to this one thing is, you know, I think kids need to really start studying the game a little bit more. It's too, as I said, the environment is, you know, we're in a controlled environment to a certain extent. But one thing about you and I, Aaron, is that we allow our athletes to interact with us. We allow our athletes, and we want our athletes to be inquisitive, and we want them to give us answers rather than us just saying, you're doing it this way, here it is, do it this way. We want our athletes to be flexible. And I think being a student of the game, and those kids who are students, are flexible. Their way of thinking is flexible. And that gives them the added edge at the end of the day when they're competing is that ability to do that.
Hey, I put a button on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. Well said. I guess I would phrase it as this. Don't let your athlete just be a consumer of the sport, but be a student of the sport.
Well said right there. Hey, that concludes us today, Aaron. You know, this is Coach EJ, Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source. Be sure to follow us on YouTube. We've got our podcasts up on YouTube now, so check us out there. Like us, do all that other social media stuff that I'm not quite sure of, but but I'm told we're supposed to say and do it. To keep this train moving. But hey, guys, stay tuned, and we'll see you.